Amen. The greatest blanket drop or mic drop in history, right? 1965, for 52 years, well, or probably 50 that I can remember, we watched that, and here the gospel message is preached. You know, Charles Schulz just battled through the networks to make sure that that was, you know, in there. And Hark the Herald Angels Sing, they still, you know, put the corporate commercial over it. But when it came to Linus bringing forth the good news, it's just amazing to me. Jesus, who? We've been looking at this entire month and this holiday season of looking at Jesus. And Jesus is God. He is the incarnate Son. Last week we see that he was a Savior, a faithful Savior. And we close the season on the last day of the year, according to our calendar, that he is our trustworthy King. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. When we look at this, we hear that, we can almost do it rote. It's on holiday cards, it's on everything. But what it tells us, what Linus told us and told the world, is that Jesus is Savior. He is the deliverer. He is the one to come to save his people. If you needed delivering, you needed a king. You needed a king that you knew would conquer. And Jesus is that deliverer. The Messiah. Messiah means anointed one. The one who was anointed to be king. The one to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Is this as hot as I think it is? Are you getting a ring back there? Okay. So Messiah, anointed one. Lord. Lord is authority. He is the authority of all things. All authority, he says, is mine. Jesus, our trustworthy King. But this also lends itself to trying to understand where Jesus is at this point. Where is Jesus? We know that he came in the flesh, right? He's God. He came incarnate as the incarnate Son. And then he was a trustworthy Savior in his ministry. He was a trustworthy Savior to die on a cross, to be the sacrifice so that the wrath of God, we would not have to experience the wrath of God because of our sin. And then he rose victorious. But where is he at now? Well, we can trust the Scripture says that Jesus is at the right hand of the Father, that he is where we, what we call heaven, the place and the dwelling where God is, where all angels that call upon him and those that are redeemed, this place at the right hand, this place of authority, the right hand of God. He is fully God and fully man. When he ascended, it says, remember that he will return just as he left. In the book of Acts, it teaches us that they told him, listen, there is full God and full man. He ascended to the Father. And then when he returns, you will recognize him if you witnessed him. But all of us will be seeing Jesus, fully God and fully man. And then he is here with us. He is here with us, empowering us through his Spirit, but he is also God, so he is omnipresent. He is everywhere at all times, and he is omniscient. He knows everything. If you've ever been confused about Jesus, Jesus is God. He came in our flesh to dwell among us as the incarnate Son. He was a faithful Savior, doing exactly what the Godhead, the God relationship had desired to do, was for him to come and die, put on the flesh, and dwell among us. And today, we see him as reigning King. What is he doing? Well, what he's doing in heaven is pretty significant. While on earth, he is called prophet, priest, and king. There are so many there are so many things that have been used to describe Jesus, many names and so forth. And you it's a great study if you know you could probably take easily a year of just looking at all the different titles and all the different positions and things that Jesus was given. But in his role as prophet, priest, and king, he came as a prophet to make sure that we knew that all the prophecies before him came true in himself. And he prophesied the fact that we needed forgiveness for sin, that the wrath of God was sure. We have a king that is gracious and loving, but we also have a king who's just. And we have a king that is not a demanding ogre. He's not a demanding, but he demands that we are obedient. His nature is gracious. He raised the standard and he lowered his grace. He is a king that desires for us to know that we are under his dominion. He's not a wimpy king. He's not a king that doesn't know he's wearing any clothing. This is a king who is sure and he knows exactly what he desires. And he is ruling over the kings of the earth, Revelation chapter 1 says. We should never be surprised. Oh, I've got friends and we'll talk politics. But when it's all said and done, we should never shake in our boots with who's in control. We should not concern ourselves in the imminent part of who we are, who's ruling and reigning in this world. He is the king over all who rule. He is not surprised by any of the shenanigans. He's not surprised by the affairs of men, the plans of men. He allows what he desires to allow, and he stops what he desires to stop. You see, God in Christ is a sovereign king. And in his sovereignty, he desires for us to know that he rules and he reigns. And that, yes, we as his kingdom people, his kingdom children, here on this earth, we realize that there is the struggle and the pain. But what I loved about the song set today is that we can be brave. We can be brave knowing that Christ is king. He is in the place of authority. And that no matter what goes on, no matter how our faith may fade and wax and wane and all of that through our lifetime, the roller coaster of faith, we can stand sure on who Christ is. We can stand sure that he's God, that he came as the incarnate Son, fully God and fully man, that he died on a cross, and that he rose again, conquering sin and death, giving us a kingdom's victory. And now we wait. Now we are on this earth. Scripture says, don't have time to go through all these passages. You just have to trust me if you're new to this. But it says that we are aliens. It says that we are ambassadors. It says that we have the ministry of reconciliation. As kingdom children, we wait for our king to come to make things right. Have you ever been agitated, aggravated, and just can't take it anymore? Our king knows exactly what we're going through, and he has an answer. As a matter of fact, if he did not come, we all would have experienced the very wrath of God at the end. Those that are new to Christianity, those that are trying to understand religion, I get it. Well, you know, the church, you know, people can make a mess of things. But don't get lost in our imperfection to the perfect king who says, listen, there must be justice. If a God of love does not have justice, then it does not make sense. And there will be justice. Have you ever asked yourself, what in the world? When is this going to end? What is going on? Our king at the right hand of God, upon his throne, he gets us. He gets it and he knows it. And there will be a day when our king will return and he will bring forth justice. You see, where is he now? Well, he's at the right hand of the Father. What is he doing? He's ruling and reigning over the kings. But also, he is interceding for us. The king is constantly interceding. He's prophet, priest, and king. And in that, he is communicating with the Father on behalf of us. It's a relationship. The Spirit has been sent as Jesus' gift to indwell us, to mature us, to grow us, to convict us, to bring us a joy unspeakable no matter what life brings. That is the ultimate gift of what Christ has brought to us through his Spirit. But in the Godhead, in that beautiful relationship, it is a positional understanding to teach us how important it is for us to pray and to be communicating with God. Sometimes we just place this in kind of little holes or little categories and we lose the understanding that our king intercedes on our behalf. He is a king that knows our business. He's a king that knows your thoughts before you think them. He's a king that already knows what you need to pray for and begs of you. A king that begs. I don't know if I can find that in Scripture, but I will tell you, he begs us just like in our relationships. People just in their heart of hearts beg to be related to. Would you forgive me? Would you talk to me? Would you meet my needs? Would you do that? You see, in God's kingdom, there is no one that suffers a need. He intercedes for us. He longs for us. Romans 8:34 tells us that who is at the right hand of God also intercedes for us. In this present time, this intercession is pleading. It's, may I say, and I'm not, it's not original with me. He's begging on our behalf. Don't get lost in the word beg. It means that even Jesus, who taught us to ask, seek, and knock, and to keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking, Jesus is doing the same thing on our behalf with the Father. The book of Hebrews says, because he abides forever, he holds the priesthood permanently. And since he is always, he's always living to intercede for us. Hebrews chapter 4, just prior to that, he says, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but he who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and may find grace to help in time of need. You see, Jesus as our King is not unapproachable. He is holy. He is strength. We can stand at His side knowing that our King is one who brings justice and will bring ultimate justice, but He's also one who desires to hear our need. Isn't it amazing that Jesus, when he was on earth, he was known as a healer? Crowds would come. You would bring your friends to Jesus. If this was the first century and you knew that the Messiah or this teacher or this whatever you might have thought he was, you would take your friends to him because there was healing in him. And even at the point of getting ready to heal, remember what Jesus, it's almost awkward. Jesus would ask, what is it that you want? What is it that you want? And he would, you know, I mean, if we were standing there, we're like, dude, Messiah, Rabbi, he's blind? Hello? But our King desires for us to center ourselves on the one who meets the need. He knows our need. He knows your need. He knows the ache of your heart. He knows the desires of your heart. He knows exactly what you need, and what the interceder, what the King desires is for us to open ourselves up to centering ourselves on our need. Isn't it amazing how the answer sometimes becomes the problem in our life? Think about that. We have a need. We go for the answer. Then the answer becomes the problem. What our King says is, listen, I am the answer. And because I am the answer, I want to be able to give you the answer to the need that you really have. And Jesus would heal physically, but he was always a matter of the heart. Our King desires for us to be changed from the inside out. And there are many of us who still walk with a limp, who still have ailments, who still have things that we in this life have not fully recovered from, but yet the King reigns in our hearts. Why? Because he desires what we are, not what we could be described as. Have you come to Christ but still deal with addiction? Have you come to Christ? Have you come Christ your King knowing that you're fully saved and you're doing everything that you can to be the best that you can be, but sometimes the best isn't good enough? Your King knows that already. Your King desires to hear from you. He desires to hear that you seek forgiveness. You see, we must be people that don't just shadow box this thing or just throw it on a shelf. It is a relationship. We have a king who can handle relationships with everyone in the entire world, those who have gone before us, and yet the little ones who have been born. Our king's bandwidth, and in current vernacular, is the widest. You see, our king desires to intercede for us and to forgive our sins. And then he desires to lead us through with the Holy Spirit to accomplish his tasks. Here's an interesting passage of Scripture. Revelation chapter 1. Grace to you and peace from him who is and was and is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of his kingdom, ruler of the kings on this earth. You see, when we see that, we see prophet, priest, and king. And so what are the implications for living? What is the implications of having a Savior who is where he is at, and we are, may I say, stuck, it seems? Well, the implications is that because we have a king, Jesus rules in such a way as not to allow our sin to reign over us any longer. You see, sometimes we get lost in our faith wondering, okay, when's he coming back? Or when is this going to end? What is this all about? And our king would say, it's about you living within the dominion of the authority that he has given us. You see, upon his forgiveness, he has given us life and life abundantly. Paul says it this way, for one who has died has been set free from sin. Death is that final sin. It's the final deal. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you must also consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. You see, this is something from the inside out that he is growing in us. We will reduce it to mental gymnastics. Oh, I wish I didn't have to suffer. I wish I didn't have to. Why do I have to keep struggling with this? Because your sin has become the answer. Our sins are the answer to so many things. If you just think about it, and Christ is saying, I am king. Set me up in your throne. I have done it. It is finished. It is done. And now I want you to live what I keep pouring in you through my Spirit. And that is that you can be sin-free. Oh, will we still have struggles, Tom? Well, of course. But our King has given us a rule and a reign within, even in our own hearts, that we died to sin and we were raised to newness of life. You see, in our church, I don't know what your background is, but we do immersion baptism. Some of us were sprinkled or poured as children and so forth, and that's a different message. But I would suggest to you that when you have been drawn by God and you are making a decision for Christ and you've believed upon him and you're confessing him, you know that you have fallen so short from him, he says, baptize, go and make and baptize. You die to yourself and you're raised to newness of life. And upon that, there's no magic in the water, but there is beautiful brilliance in the testimony of Christ, is that when we die to ourselves and we're raised in him, all things become clean, all things become new, and we walk filled with his Spirit. With his Spirit from that point on, never walking alone. We'll stumble, we'll fumble, we'll bumble, we'll do all of those things until glory comes, but he has given us his sure presence to never leave us nor forsake us. Paul goes on, he says, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. Do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under the law, but under grace. Our King is gracious. He knows what we have dealt with. He knows what some of you are continuing to deal with. If you are not in Christ, you are under the dominion of darkness. And you wonder, you know, this is not a judgment. It's like, oh, well, I knew that a Christian would say that. You know, listen, friend, if you don't know him and you've not embraced him, you cannot help but think that we're going to just immediately judge you. This is not a judgment. This is kingdom people saying, can you understand what dominion, what authority you're under? And would you come to the one who has conquered all of that? The one who has said, listen, it is finished. The one who was promised the seed of a woman who would crush the very head of the serpent. And when you look at all the prophecies, it comes down to one moment in time, specific point of history, through a little girl named Mary. Jesus says, I am the one. Do not sin because I have already conquered it. When you sin, when you and I sin, all we're doing is changing authority. We're moving into a different realm of a different kingdom. And Jesus says, listen, you don't have to do that. As king, Jesus gives us security in knowing that he reigns over the plans of men. We talked a little bit about that. Revelation 1, 5, and 6 says, to him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood and made us kingdom, priests to his God and Father, to him be the glory and dominion forever and ever. Again, we can get discombobulated. We can try to pretty up this mess. We can do everything we can. But when we look at it, we can sometimes fear. As a matter of fact, I even believe those of us, he realizes and understands that those of us that are still doing his kingdom work here, still here waiting for glory, realizes that we will be in fear. And that our king does not desire for us to live with fear. He desires for us to know that he is truly king. As King Jesus gives us his spirit to be about his kingdom work. You see, if you've ever asked yourself, this is it, right? This is as good as it gets. I would suggest to you that his return is sure. His return is going to be very soon, and you could laugh. Now, Tom, it's been 2,000 years. I mean, come on, buddy. You think he's going to come in our lifetime? I'm not a prophet. But what I know is that the urgency of my heart and the urgency of why I do what I do and the reason that I live is because my king has given me a charge. He says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Remember his reign. And because I reign on earth, although the evil one seems to have this obnoxious lure and he has a residency there, he has no power. I come and I bring you and I plant you with purpose. You see, if you ever wondered what the church at large is, the church at large are the kingdom workers. The church is being filled with his spirit so that we might be his ambassadors, that we might be the voice of reason, that we might be the voice of morality, that we might be his kingdom dwellers. We are his ambassadors with the ministry of reconciliation. And so he desires, and he's given, this is a mission statement for most every church, because it's the mission statement of his church. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. When we begin to embrace that, when you begin to embrace the King's call on your life, it brings such a tremendous perspective of what you're doing. If we just resolve to just kind of trying to please him with some good behavior, or we kind of, you know, we can't do that. The king already knows us. But what the king desires for us to do is be renewed in our hearts and our minds to knowing that each and every one of us that call Christ Savior, Lord, and King, we have a divine purpose. It's not for the guys that are pulpiteering or playing this or that or the other. It's the smallest act of Christ, bringing Christ. And it also helps us understand that the missionary's life makes sense, right? They sacrifice themselves. They put on the flesh of that culture, and they bring the redemptive message over years, learning language, going through persecution, maybe even martyrdom. We can look at the world of the missionary and go, wow, that is identifying with Christ. But friend, don't you lose the point that in Christ's kingdom, you are called. And that every act of kindness, everything that you do in His name is something that He upholds, that He has probably put it before you, that He desires you, He wants you to live this out. If we're just to be friendly and loving without justice, without truth, then we could join the Kiwanis Club. But He desires for us to know that we have the redemptive message. We have the message of Linus, that anybody that comes in our way, that we can say, listen, we could do a Dr. Phil, right? How's it working for you? Well, I mean, I'm doing all right. I feel like I'm a good person. Great, that's wonderful. Can I tell you about an even better person? Have you ever failed? Oh, yeah, I fail all the time. Let me tell you about one who came so that you would never have to fail again. Do you fear death? You die, you die, you're done. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know exactly where I am with all that. You know, I believe, you know, the big guy in the sky, you know, he kind of takes care of all that, I think. You know, I don't know. We have the surety of the message of our King, that anyone that has need, anyone that has question, anyone that has argument can petition the very God of the universe. He's that accessible. He's that open. He's that forgiving. Our King desires for all people to have change. Not change for change's sake, but be redeemed. You see, that gives us great assurance, but it also gives us a great call. You see, some of you are mamas, and you hear a message like this, and you go, I'm just trying to keep up with three of them. Some of you hear that, and you go, yeah, I get it, but you know, if I could, and I would just tell you that choosing mothers choose if, right? I mean, it's just... It's like, can you come to a place in your life, and you may have sat in a pew all of your life, but the King of the universe wants you, and He needs you, and He wants your life to make absolute perfect sense to you. Knowing that every act that you're doing in His name is ministry, is bringing forth. And then as you mature in this, I'm just telling you, I'm not saying that I'm better. I'm the chief of sinners, but I've come some ways, and it is without it sounding like a sales pitch, I'm just telling you that when you give your all to the King, He desires to take you to levels you've never experienced. And you think you got your plan. You think you got it down. You think you got yourself nestled down. And then something comes in and you wonder, what's going on? It's because the King desires to motivate you and move you because He desires to mature you. Some of you have been doing the same thing for years and you wonder why you keep getting the same results. My friend, the King desires for you to grow and mature. There's no classism. There's no poor and there's no rich. He does not see us differently. The king's kids are all the same, and he desires for them to reap the benefits of the abundant life here and now, and then in when we get to glory. Oh my gosh. If I've said it once, I'll probably say it 1,000 times to those of you that have been around a while. There's a passage in Revelation. This is not in the script. I'm going off key here, baby. There's a passage that says, he will wipe every tear. I don't know. It says a day is like 1,000 years to the Lord. All I know is there might be this great time when my king comes that he gives me an opportunity to see the people that I've helped and maybe even be remorseful of the people I didn't help. And he's going to judge my heart, and he's going to judge my actions, and he's going to judge your actions, because he is king who sits on the throne. And for whatever reason, whether it's a blink of an eye, in the instantaneous of that change, I hope it's quick with all the negative, but I can't imagine what he wants to do with us when we are shedding a tear of joy and happiness with the people that we've made a difference in. And it could have been one time while you're at McDonald's and you had no clue that you were nice, but it changed, right? But it's also the investment that we have made in our kids, the investment that we've made in people, knowing that we are doing for the king exactly what the king wants us to do. And that brings joy. And so you want resolve, you want resolutions. You're not going to lose the weight. You're probably not going to quit smoking. Okay, I mean, let's just be honest. It's not going to happen. Now, if you're working on that stuff, great. Let us partner with you. We'll be accountability buddies. We'll do all that stuff. Hey, you know, like this. But let me suggest to you that every resolve that we have should be driven by the king's agenda. And the king's agenda doesn't want any of his children to be looking downcast. He did not pay for their life for them to be downcast. He did not pay the price so that we might just kind of wander through. Oh. So what's good? If your kingdom is you, you're probably going to get the same kind of deal, because if you're on the throne, you have only you to blame. But if you're seated in Christ's kingdom, we have a king who desires for us to know that we can be brave, that we can worship him, that we can shout and get wild. Could you believe that's in worship songs? Shout and wild. I mean, come on. That we could shout and get wild. And I just have to do this because I have to tease my congregation at least one time. So if you're a guest, don't be offended. But that maybe the frozen chosen would thaw and allow themselves to live way beyond what we keep holding ourselves down and be children of the king. Now, I'd just like to close this message for those of you that are still investigating. Maybe half-hearted with Christ. Maybe you that really, you feel so distant and so far from him. Even to the place where you almost like you need to get saved all over again. Allow me to give you my best rendition of Linus. You see, Charlie Brown comes into the world. First slide, Dom. Charlie Brown, we're like Charlie Brown, right? I mean, seriously. I mean, we feel like Charlie Brown. Charles Schulz wants us to feel like Charlie Brown. You know, oh, we might want to be a Schroeder. We might desire to, you know, to be cool like Peppermint Patty or whatever. But really, when it's all said and done, Charlie Brown's looking at this world, and the world, man, the world will put lights on it. The world will do everything it can And Charlie Brown really, I mean, the answer to happiness, the answer to everything, Charlie Brown and the Innocents, you know, he fell in love with this tree. He fell in love with a tree. And he tried to decorate it. And bloop. And do you remember what he said? I've killed it, or something on that order, right? I mean, he used the word killed, right? And, you know, in a children's deal, you know, I've killed it. And what do? They all make fun. And he's just befuddled, and he finally asks that important question, right? Does anybody know the meaning of Christmas? Or something on that order. And Linus, with his security thumb and his security blanket, he comes and says, well, I know it. He says, he gives us Luke 2, right? But I would suggest to you that if you've never noticed it, you may know where I'm already going with this, but he starts telling the story, and in the greatest mic drop or blanket drop, Schultz did it on purpose. They zoom into his face, and before you know it, as he's saying, as the angel says, fear not, he drops his blanket. In all the years of the comic strips, Linus has never been separated before from his blanket. But in this moment, when he's talking about our King and the angel saying, fear not, his security now rests in a different place. And so then he tells a story, and what does he do? Just like we do, it's okay. We still have some securities here on earth, and he picks it up. But for those of you that have yet to receive him, to accept him, some of you that have struggled to say, listen, I don't know. I get it. I didn't want him to be my king either. I like to be king. Ask my family. But what we see is that Linus goes to that tree, right? And what's he do? It seems like he's a little more free with it, right? And he wraps it around that tree. And so let me just tell you a story. Jesus looked at our mess. He looks at your mess. And oh, you're good, right? You're good. What is good? It's the definition of humanity's understanding of things. But Christ comes knowing that really we put a lot of lights on our mess. And that we needed the innocence of an obscure tree to put life into a whole different perspective. You see, I'm going to just suggest for our little story time, if I was sitting with you across, I'd probably even draw it. Is that tree represents the cross. And the world laughed at it and it scoffed. It made fun. And there were even a few Charlie Browns who probably thought, I've killed him. What have I done? I've killed him. And the Savior of the world says, no, it is finished on my account, to the Father's plan. And 3 days later, I'm going to just suggest to us in this little story that our Savior took his grave clothes and he says, the tree, sin and death, done. Don't have to worry about it anymore. Oh, none of us want to die, but you really never die. And these grave clothes, they mean I'm king. And because I'm king, I'm going to ask you that are questioning, debating, arguing, or just want to be king of your own kingdom. Would you come? And would you follow me? Father, we love you and we thank you. We thank you for, guys like Linus. But even more, we thank you for the gospel writers that have given us your holy word to teach us and to encourage us and to stir within us a passion and a surety of who Jesus is. Jesus, I boldly proclaim that you are King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And that although I don't have it all together, I have one that intercedes for me and desires for me. You desire for me to come to you with everything that's embarrassing and everything that I could ever dream or envision, because you want to take me to places that I never thought. You want to hear me. And so, Father, we come to you. And we thank you. God, I pray. I know it's December 31st. We could do it the closing of the year call. We could make it emotional. We could do all of that. But Father, I just pray. You said to intercede. So I'm intercede and I'm petitioning on behalf of those that you are calling to yourself, who are in the midst of a struggle, who are in the midst of giving over their throne for yours, those that are just, you know, really trying to understand if you truly are God. Father, I just pray to keep calling them. But if today is the day of their salvation, I pray that they would not put a decision for you off. Father, speak to them, nudge them, and prompt them. And before they leave this place today, may they know who their King is. And for the rest of your kids, that's why we commune with you, so that we might remind us who's our King, who gave everything he had for us so that we could have everything from him. God, we love you and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.